Welcome to the Deep Dive, your express lane to becoming exceptionally well-informed. Today we're diving into a market as old as civilization itself, one that has captivated humanity for millennia. Precious metals. Gold. Silver. They're more than just elements. They are timeless symbols of wealth, stability, and, well, enduring allure. Now, traditionally, when you think about investing in these metals, your mind probably goes to, you know, physical bars or coins, maybe shares in a traditional mining company, the companies that get their hands dirty, quite literally digging these treasures out of the ground. But there's a fascinating and for many an almost sort of secret pathway to this market that offers some truly unique advantages, sidestepping many of the common pitfalls. Today, we're taking a comprehensive deep dive into Wheaton Precious Metals Corporation, or WPM. They are really the world's premier precious metals streaming company. Our mission is clear. We're going to dissect its unique business model, unravel its formidable financial strength, explore its compelling growth potential, and crucially, identify the inherent risks you need to understand. Think of this as your shortcut to being incredibly well-versed about a highly specialized yet exceptionally powerful corner of the investment world. You're going to discover why WPM isn't just another precious metals stock, but truly a different breed of beast in this ancient yet constantly evolving jungle.
That's exactly right. And for this deep dive, we've really gathered and distilled insights directly from the most recent comprehensive investment analyses on WPM. We want to cut through the jargon, bringing you the core knowledge. We'll start by illuminating the fascinating mechanism of streaming agreements, how they actually work, and, you know, why they're so distinct. Then we'll pivot to WPM's remarkably robust portfolio of assets, its financial fortress of a balance sheet, and ultimately what truly sets it apart as a leader in this highly specialized sector. Our goal here isn't just to tell you what WPM does, but to help you connect these intricate pieces so you can clearly understand why it matters and how it positions itself within the broader investment landscape, equipping you with valuable insights for your own informed decisions.
Okay, let's unpack this for you. Before we get into WPM specifically, we really need to lay the groundwork and understand its fundamental business model. Precious metals streaming. It's a term many might have heard, but maybe don't fully grasp. What exactly is streaming? And maybe more importantly, how does it fundamentally differ from traditional mining or even from a royalty company, which some might, you know, mistakenly think is the same thing? It's a critical distinction to grasp if you truly want to understand WPM's unique profile.
It absolutely is. And truly, it's the foundation of WPM's entire unique profile and its competitive advantage. So when we talk about defining streaming, we're describing a contractual arrangement where a streamer, a company like Wheaton Precious Metals, provides a significant, often multi-million or even multi-billion dollar upfront cash payment to a mining company. This upfront capital typically funds the development or maybe expansion of a mine. In return for that crucial capital injection, the streamer gains the right to purchase a fixed percentage of that mine's future metal production. Now, this production is often a byproduct, meaning it's not the primary metal the mine is targeting. Think silver recovered from a copper mine, for example, or gold from a base metal operation. The key here and what makes it so powerful is that the streamer acquires this metal at a predetermined, deeply discounted fixed cost for the entire life of the mine.
Wow. Okay. For the whole life of the mine.
Exactly. Let's put a concrete example from the sources to illustrate this. Imagine a streamer pays, say, $300 million upfront to a copper mining company. In return, they get the right to buy 50% of that copper mine's future silver production at a fixed price of just $5 per ounce for as long as that mine operates. That $5 per ounce is contractually locked in, regardless of what the market price for silver does in the future.
Okay, that's pretty clear. And how does that stack up against traditional mining then? You said they're not operators.
Right, and that's absolutely crucial. Streamers are not mining operators. They don't lease land, they don't dig, they don't manage complex labor forces, they don't buy heavy specialized equipment. Crucially, they don't bear the direct operational costs like energy, fuel, or day-to-day wages. This fundamental difference is what provides an incredible insulation from the inflationary cost pressures that can absolutely cripple traditional mining companies. Miners are constantly battling rising costs, labor, energy, equipment, which directly eat into their margins. Streamers largely bypass those operational headaches.
And the difference from royalties, because sometimes those terms get used interchangeably.
They do, and it's an important distinction. A royalty typically is a percentage of a mine's revenue, for instance. You might hear about a 2% net smelter return, or NSR, on all sales. With a royalty, there are no ongoing payments once the agreement is signed, and crucially, there is no physical metal delivery to the royalty holder. It's purely a revenue stream, a check in the mail, so to speak. WPM, however, is really a pure play streamer. Now, they do have a handful of royalty agreements, you know, for diversification, strategic reasons. But as of year end 2024, their portfolio was heavily skewed towards 32 precious metal purchase agreements, or PMPAs, and only 5 royalty agreements. This heavy weighting towards streaming agreements is what fundamentally defines their particular risk-reward profile and their unique operational leverage.
So, with that fixed cost structure and being insulated from so many of the traditional mining headaches, what are the big, almost structural advantages of this model for WPM? It sounds like they get the upside exposure to precious metals without having to take on many of the traditional mining downsides. What's the secret sauce here?
You've hit on the core of it. The biggest advantages really revolve around powerful insulation and highly predictable, robust margins. Because the streamer's cost per ounce is contractually fixed at that deeply discounted rate, they enjoy remarkably predictable and consistently high margins. Our source material gives a great illustration. During the second quarter of 2025, WPM's average cash cost per gold equivalent ounce, GEO, was just $470, resulting in a staggering cash operating margin of $2,717 per GEO.
Wow, $2,770 per ounce margin.
That's huge.
It really is. Think about that nearly $3,000 profit for every gold equivalent ounce they acquire. This kind of margin stability is almost unheard of in the typically volatile mining sector. It's a core tenet of the streaming model, giving them incredibly reliable cash flows. And beyond that, this fixed cost structure provides tremendous, almost amplified leverage to rising commodity prices. Think of it like this. Imagine you own a coffee shop and your rent is fixed at $1,000 a month, no matter how much coffee you sell. If the selling price of your coffee goes up significantly, all that extra revenue beyond your fixed rent goes straight to your bottom line. WPM's fixed purchase price for metal acts like that fixed rent. When market prices for gold or silver increase, their cost per ounce doesn't change. This means that the entire increase in the market price flows directly to their top line, leading to margin expansion that can actually outpace the appreciation of the commodity itself. It's a powerful amplifying effect.
That amplified leverage sounds incredibly compelling. Almost, dare I say, too good to be true. Every investment has its flip side, of course. So what are the inherent downsides or significant challenges to the streaming model? It can't be all smooth sailing.
No, you're absolutely right. There are certainly significant challenges that need to be carefully considered. The primary one is capital intensity. Securing new, high-quality streams, especially the big ones with major mining companies, requires substantial upfront payments. We saw this with WPM's activity in 2024, where they announced over $900 million in new transactions. To sustain growth and keep acquiring attractive new streams, a streaming company needs an exceptionally strong balance sheet and a very disciplined approach to capital allocation. This is a business where you need a lot of capital to play at the top tier.
Okay, so deep pockets needed. What else?
Another significant challenge is their reliance on partner operations. A streaming agreement is fundamentally a claim on physical ounces of metal. This means if the underlying mine becomes uneconomic for the operator, maybe due to technical issues, labor strikes, regulatory shutdowns, geological surprises, whatever, then production could curtail or even cease entirely. This would directly halt the delivery of ounces to WPM. Unlike a traditional miner who controls their own operations, WPM has no direct control over how its partners run their mines.
So they're dependent.
Exactly. This positions WPM as a more leveraged investment on both commodity prices and the operational success and financial health of its partners, especially when you compare it to a pure royalty holder whose claim is simply on revenue, not physical production. If the mine stops digging, the revenue stops for the royalty holder, but for a streamer, the physical metal stops flowing, and that's a different kind of operational risk.
So what this foundational business model really tells you as a listener trying to understand WPM is why it offers such a unique risk-reward profile. They're not just buying a piece of the mine, they're buying a piece of its future output with all the specific implications that entails for both profit and, well, potential problems. Okay, so we've dissected how this streaming model works, insulating WPM from a lot of typical mining headaches and giving them incredible leverage. But let's get into the specifics of Wheaton Precious Metals itself. You've often described their financial position as a fortress. What makes their balance sheet so exceptionally strong, and why does that really matter for an investor?
That's a great question, and it's truly the bedrock of WPM's success. WPM's financial position is, without exaggeration, exceptional, often called a fortress balance sheet. As of June 30, 2025, the company reported over $1 billion in cash, and quite remarkably in this industry, zero debt.
Zero debt. That's unusual.
It really is. And this immaculate financial position is further bolstered by a fully undrawn $2 billion revolving credit facility. Now, this facility was not only extended out to 2030, providing long-term flexibility, but it was also enhanced with an additional $500 million accordion feature, which means they can easily expand the facility even further, potentially up to $2.5 billion if the right truly massive opportunity comes along. So when you combine that billion plus in cash with their undrawn credit line, WPM has over $3 billion in total liquidity, a substantial capital war chest or dry powder ready for strategic deployment.
And being debt-free, especially now with rates higher, that must be a big advantage.
Oh, huge. It's a massive strategic advantage. WPM is completely insulated from those rising borrowing costs that are hitting other companies. In fact, their substantial cash balance actually earns more interest income as rates rise, turning a potential industry headwind into a tailwind for them. This financial freedom lets them deploy capital opportunistically from their own cash reserves and strong internal cash flow. It means they can often secure more favorable terms on new streaming deals because they aren't reliant on external financing. They can really dictate terms.
And this translates to cash flow.
Absolutely. This financial strength translates directly into incredibly robust cash flow generation. The company had a record-breaking performance, over $1 billion in operating cash flow in 2024. They continued this strong trend into 2025, reporting $415 million in operating cash flow in the second quarter alone. And we mentioned that cash operating margin earlier, $2,717 per GEO in Q2 2025. That was a 37% year-over-year expansion, largely driven by a big 32% jump in the realized price per ounce, while their costs stayed stable. This is the streaming model working exactly as designed.
And shareholders see some of that. Dividends.
Yes, definitely. WPM is deeply committed to shareholder returns through what they call a progressive dividend policy. It links returns to the company's growth and commodity performance. We've seen consistent dividend growth from $0.42 per share back in 2020 to an implied $0.66 in 2025. And this dividend is incredibly well covered by their massive cash flow, roughly a 37% payout ratio. So it's sustainable while still leaving plenty of capital for reinvestment into growth. It balances immediate returns with long-term value creation.
It's clear that a strong balance sheet isn't just about safety. It's a powerful tool that enables growth and enhances shareholder value in this capital-intensive business. But playing devil's advocate for a moment, is there ever a downside to having too much cash on the balance sheet or being completely debt-free? Does it limit their agility or perhaps suggest a lack of aggressive reinvestment?
That's a fair challenge. And while some might argue that a company with excessive cash could be missing opportunities, for WPM, that liquidity is precisely what gives them their agility and competitive edge. In a capital-intensive industry like mining, the ability to write large checks for new streams, often on short notice, is a critical strategic advantage. Rather than suggesting a lack of reinvestment, it signals a disciplined, patient approach. They can afford to wait for the best deals, the ones that meet their strict criteria, rather than being forced into, you know, suboptimal acquisitions just to spend capital. Their track record deploying hundreds of millions into new streams, even while maintaining this cash position, shows they are actively reinvesting, just very selectively.
Yeah.
So for WPM, that cash isn't sitting idle. It's really empowering strategic optionality.
That makes perfect sense.
Okay.
So moving from the financial bedrock,
yeah.
A company is ultimately only as good as its underlying assets. In WPM's unique model, their assets are actually the future production streams from the mines they've partnered with. So what does this portfolio look like and what makes it genuinely high quality?
WPM's portfolio is indeed strategically built for long-term sustainability, quality, and resilience. As of the end of 2024, it comprised agreements covering 18 operating mines and 25 development stage projects. This extensive portfolio provides robust diversification across multiple critical dimensions, which is, you know, crucial in the volatile mining industry. First, there's significant counterparty diversification. They've intentionally forged agreements with 33 different mining partners. These include some of the largest and most reputable industry leaders globally. Think Vale, Newmont, Glencore, Barrick Gold. Partnering with such well-capitalized, technically skilled operators is a primary way they mitigate counterparty risk.
So they're dealing with the big players.
Exactly. Then we see crucial geographic diversification. The underlying assets are strategically located across 18 countries. While they have a strong focus on the Americas cornerstone operations in Brazil, Salobo, Mexico, Peñasquito, Peru, and Tiemena Constancia, this global footprint is essential. It helps mitigate single jurisdiction political or regulatory risks. If one country has issues, their exposure is spread out.
And the metals themselves, gold and silver mostly.
Primarily, yes. There's commodity diversification too. Revenue mainly comes from a balanced mix of gold and silver. In Q2 2025, for instance, it was about 65% gold, 33% silver, and a smaller but growing 2% from palladium and cobalt combined. This balance gives exposure to different market fundamentals. Now, a core element and a real testament to their disciplined approach is the sheer quality of these assets. Management consistently emphasizes that a remarkable 93% of its attributable production comes from mines operating in the lowest half of their respective industry cost curves.
Lowest half, so they're very efficient mines.
Extremely efficient. This means these operations produce metal at a significantly lower cost than most competitors, making them inherently more profitable and, crucially, more resilient, even in periods of lower commodity prices. These low-cost producers are typically the last to shut down in a downturn, providing WPM with consistent production. Furthermore, the portfolio boasts an estimated average mine life of an impressive 28 years based on proven and probable reserves.
28 years, that's long.
It is. In an industry where mine lives can often be much shorter, a 28-year average provides an incredibly long-term, stable runway for cash flow generation and significantly de-risks their future production profile. Now, while the portfolio is broadly diversified, it's also important for transparency to acknowledge a bit of a double-edged sword regarding cornerstone asset concentration. The Salobo mine in Brazil, operated by the global mining giant Vale, is arguably the most critical single asset in WPM's entire portfolio. In Q2 2025, Salobo produced roughly 75% of the company's total gold production for that period.
75% from one mine. That sounds concentrated.
It is, and that's the risk side. Salobo is a world-class, extremely low-cost copper gold mine, known for its longevity and scale. Vale's recent successful ramp-up of the Salobo 3 expansion project was a major positive and de-risking event for WPM, solidifying that production. However, yes, this level of concentration means that any unforeseen operational disruption, a major labor issue, or an adverse political development specifically impacting Salobo or Brazil could have a disproportionately large negative impact on Wheaton's near-term results. It's a calculated trade-off for having access to such a high-quality, large-scale, and historically reliable asset.
That deep dive into their portfolio really highlights the strategic balance they strike between quality and sheer quantity, and how this deep diversification helps manage the inherent risks of mining, even for a non-operator like WPM. It's clearly about being smart where you place your capital.
And what's fascinating here is how WPM has gone beyond merely acquiring good assets to actually construct a self-reinforcing virtuous cycle that acts as its economic moat. This isn't just about having a great collection of mines. It's about the way their operations and financial strength interact to create a powerful, sustainable, competitive advantage. It makes it incredibly difficult for others to replicate.
A virtuous cycle. How does that work?
Okay, so it starts with WPM's existing high-quality portfolio. Their current low-cost, long-life assets, like Salobo and Peñasquito we mentioned, they're cash-generating powerhouses. They produce substantial and highly predictable operating cash flow exceeded $1 billion in 2024 alone. This consistent, robust cash generation then allows WPM to maintain its pristine balance sheet, that billion-plus in cash, zero debt. This financial strength provides WPM with that immense capital war chest, over $3 billion in total available liquidity, that functions as dry powder ready to be deployed.
Right, the fortress balance sheet we talked about.
Exactly. Now, this is where the cycle really starts to differentiate them, creating that moat. The sheer scale and financial capacity become a key differentiator in the competitive deal-making environment. The world's largest, most attractive mining projects, the truly world-class ones, require significant upfront capital, often hundreds of millions, even billions of dollars. Only a handful of streamers globally can actually write those necessary checks without straining their own balance sheets. WPM's ability to fund these large deals makes it a preferred partner for major mining companies looking for capital. This often gives them a first look at the best opportunities. Miners trust their stability and track record.
Ah, so the money gives them access.
Precisely. And then successfully executing these large accretive transactions deals that add significant value further enhances the portfolio's quality and scale, which in turn generates even stronger cash flow. And just like that, the cycle restarts, stronger than before, solidifying their competitive advantage with each successful deal.
That virtuous cycle makes perfect sense on paper. But let's play devil's advocate again. What would it actually take for a new, well-funded player, maybe a private equity firm with deep pockets, to break into this top tier and truly challenge WPM's dominance? Is it really unassailable, or are there cracks in that moat?
That's a critical question, and it highlights just how formidable those barriers are. Deep pockets are a start, sure, but it's far from enough. A new player would need to assemble a highly specialized team, geologists, engineers, lawyers, financial experts, to conduct rigorous due diligence on complex projects globally. More importantly, they'd need to build relationships and trust with the senior management of global mining companies. That takes years, decades even.
It's not just about the money, then.
Not at all. These aren't just transactional deals. They often involve a deep understanding of the mining company's strategy. So while capital is necessary, the expertise and relationships act as additional, extremely high barriers. It's not theoretically unassailable. A truly massive, coordinated effort over many years could eventually make a dent, but it's an incredibly difficult and expensive path. It makes WPM's position relatively secure at the top. This self-reinforcing loop really solidifies WPM's leadership and creates those formidable barriers.
So you're learning how a company can build a deep, structural, competitive advantage beyond just having good assets. This moat is about much more than just the metal. It's about the financial and relational ecosystem they've built, making them resilient and enduring.
Okay, so WPM has a phenomenally strong foundation built on that fortress balance sheet and high-quality assets. But what about the future? So what does this all mean for their growth prospects? Are they just sitting back, collecting metal, or are there clear, aggressive avenues for expansion on the horizon? WPM definitely isn't resting. In fact, they have one of the most robust and visible organic growth profiles in the entire streaming and royalty sector. And this isn't just, you know, wishful thinking. Management actually forecasts an approximate 40% increase in annual production, a substantial jump, rising from a midpoint of about 635,000 gold equivalent ounces, or GEOs, in 2025 to over 870,000 GEOs by 2029.
40% growth in 4 years. That's significant.
It's incredibly strong growth for a company of WPM size in this sector. And crucially, this is a key differentiator. This growth is largely de-risked. It's not dependent on future speculative acquisitions or uncertain exploration success. Over 80% of its expected 5-year growth is significantly de-risked because it's coming from assets that are either already operating and expanding, are currently in construction with defined timelines, or are fully permitted and ready to go. This provides a high degree of visibility and predictability into their future production volumes and cash flows. It gives investors a much clearer picture.
Okay, so it's growth you can almost count on. What projects are driving this?
Right. Let's look at the pipeline. In the near term, meaning ramp up in 2025, we have significant contributions expected from Artemis Gold's Blackwater mine that hit commercial production in May 2025, immediately feeding ounces into WPM's stream. Then there's B2 Gold's Goose Project, which had its first gold pour in June 2025, another new contributor. Mineral Park, Ivanhoe's Playtreef, are also expected to add meaningfully later in 2025. Looking further out, medium term, say 2026 to 2028, a second wave of growth is expected from projects like Rio 2's Fenix, Allied Gold's Kurmuk, Silvercorp's El Domo, and Montage Gold's Coney project. And alongside these new projects, there are ongoing expansions and optimizations at cornerstone assets like Salobo, Marmato, and Voisey's Bay. These continue to contribute through improved efficiencies and throughput. It's a multi-layered approach.
That's a truly impressive and detailed pipeline. And understanding how the type of growth de-risked and embedded versus speculative makes a huge difference in predictability. It's about knowing what you're buying into. This paints a clear picture.
Absolutely. And beyond this strong organic pipeline, WPM remains a very active and highly disciplined acquirer of new streams and royalties. They announced over $900 million in new transactions in 2024 alone, which clearly demonstrates their ability to deploy significant capital into accretive deals. Management commentary for mid-2025 even indicated they are actively evaluating more opportunities than in previous years, likely thanks to their strong financial position and favorable market dynamics for streaming right now.
Favorable dynamics, meaning?
Yeah. Meaning the current environment with high gold prices and maybe capital-constrained miners creates fertile ground for new streaming deals. Miners need capital, streamers have it. The competitive landscape for the best deals is, however, quite intense. WPM, Franco-Nevada, Royal Gold, they all have strong balance sheets and an appetite for growth. In this environment, WPM's strategy is powerful, leveraging its robust organic growth. This strong internal growth engine allows them to be exceptionally selective and disciplined. They aren't pressured to overpay or chase growth just for growth's sake, which can be a trap. They can patiently pursue only opportunities that meet their strict criteria for quality, fit, and returns. This patience, combined with their financial muscle, lets them pounce on truly exceptional deals.
It certainly highlights how having such a strong internal growth engine empowers a company to be much more strategic and patient with external acquisitions. They can wait for the right deal, not just any deal. So WPM is a big fish in this pond, clearly with a strong strategy for both internal and external growth. But what does that pond itself look like? What are the dynamics of this specialized market, and how does WPM compare to its fellow big fish, the other major players?
The precious metal streaming and royalty sector occupies a really unique and highly specialized niche within the broader mining industry. They're essentially sophisticated long-term capital providers. What's particularly interesting is how consolidated this sector is. The three largest players, Wheaton Precious Metals, Franco-Nevada, and Royal Gold, collectively account for an estimated 80% of the market by volume of gold equivalent ounces.
80%, just three companies.
Roughly, yes. Other notable, though smaller, competitors include Osisko Gold Royalties and Sandstorm Gold. This highly concentrated structure isn't accidental. It's a direct result of those formidable barriers to entry we touched on. The primary barrier is access to capital. Big deals need hundreds of millions, sometimes billions, upfront. Only a handful can do that. Second is technical expertise. Evaluating mining projects is incredibly complex. Geology, engineering, economics, you need a deep bench of experts. That takes time to build. And finally, establish relationships with the senior management of global mining companies. Absolutely crucial for sourcing and securing the best deals. These are built on years, decades of trust and successful partnerships.
So it's capital, expertise, and relationships. Tough to break in.
Very tough. And the relationship between streamers and mining operators is truly symbiotic, a mutually beneficial ecosystem. For miners, especially when equity or credit markets are tight, streaming offers flexible, non-dilutive, often less expensive capital. They can monetize a byproduct asset to fund their main operation without giving up equity or taking on more debt. For streamers like WPM, this creates a steady pipeline of high-quality investment opportunities, especially when traditional capital is scarce. It's often a win-win.
Understanding these market dynamics helps you appreciate why this isn't a crowded space and why established players hold such a powerful advantage. That raises an important question then. How does WPM stack up against its direct peers like Franco-Nevada and Royal Gold, who operate in this same elite space? Let's break down the key metrics and, more importantly, the strategic differences.
It's absolutely essential to look at the peers, as each major player, while using a similar model, has a slightly different strategic approach and risk profile. Understanding these nuances is key. Let's start with Wheaton Precious Metals, WPM itself. As we've established, WPM is the largest by revenue and production in the pure streaming royalty space. Clear streaming focus, highly leveraged pure play on precious metals, relatively balanced between gold and silver, key differentiator. That strong, visible 40% organic growth outlook by 2029, market cap around $42.5 billion USD, often seen as the most direct way to get streaming exposure.
Okay, that's WPM. What about Franco-Nevada? They're often mentioned together.
Right. Franco-Nevada, FND, currently the largest by market cap, around $47.6 billion CAD. FNV boasts arguably the most diversified portfolio, over 430 assets. Crucially, this diversification isn't just precious metals royalty streams, but also includes a significant energy royalty business, oil and gas. This broader diversification offers a different risk profile, potentially more stability if precious metals dip, but maybe muted upside in a strong PM bull market. FNV also projects 40% growth by 2029, though this figure heavily includes contributions from its Cobre Panama asset, which has faced significant geopolitical challenges. We'll touch on that.
Interesting diversification there. And Royal Gold?
Royal Gold, RGLD. They have a large diversified portfolio too, around 175 properties. They have a more balanced mix of royalty and streaming interests compared to WPM, so not as heavily skewed towards streaming. They're particularly noted for their consistent long history of annual dividend increases, often a favorite for income-focused investors. Market cap around $11.1 billion USD.
And you mentioned Osisko.
Yes, Osisko Gold Royalties, OR. A smaller but notable and growing peer. Over 185 assets, heavily concentrated in top-tier jurisdictions, Canada, USA, Australia. That appeals to investors looking to minimize geopolitical risk. Anchored by a cornerstone 5% NSR royalty on the Canadian Malartic mine, a huge North American gold mine, they project around 40% growth by 2028, market cap roughly $5.1 billion SAD.
So comparing them, WPM leads in pure PM production, strong growth like FNV, but more focused.
Exactly. The critical contrast often comes down to diversification versus focus. FNV offers broader diversification, including energy. WPM provides more concentrated precious metals exposure and a heavier streaming focus. That sharper focus, because of the fixed cost model, provides greater upside leverage in a rapidly rising precious metals price environment. But it also inherently carries a higher degree of risk if there's a prolonged low price environment or significant operational issues at key streaming assets, as their revenue is less diversified.
This comparison is absolutely vital. It shows you that even within this niche sector, there are different strategic approaches. WPM's sharper risk-reward profile is a direct result of its streaming-heavy model. Not one size fits all, even for these top players. Understanding those nuances is key. Okay, even with all these strengths, the fortress balance sheet, high-quality assets, visible growth, powerful business model, no investment is without potential pitfalls. What are the key risks you absolutely need to understand when considering wheat and precious metals so you can weigh the full picture?
The most significant and fundamental risk for WPM, like any company in these markets, is its direct link to commodity price volatility. Their revenues, earnings, cash flows, all directly tied to market prices of gold, silver, palladium, cobalt. A prolonged or significant decline in precious metals prices would undoubtedly have a direct and material adverse effect on their financial performance and the underlying value of their streams. Now, while the streaming model provides that excellent margin protection due to fixed costs, their profit per ounce stays high, it doesn't eliminate top-line revenue declines.
Right. Less revenue overall, even if the margin per ounce is good.
Precisely. If gold drops from $3,300 to $2,000, their revenue from gold streams drops proportionally. We saw this during the big PM downturn in 2013-2015. WPM's revenue was hit, but their margins held up much better than traditional miners who were battling falling prices and rising costs. It showed the resilience of the model, but not immunity from a revenue hit. This sensitivity makes WPM fundamentally a directional bet on long-term precious metal prices.
Okay, commodity price risk is number one. What else? You mentioned reliance on partners.
Yes, counterparty and operational risk. As a non-operating company, WPM is entirely dependent on the ability of its third-party mining partners to successfully develop, permit, construct, and most importantly, operate their mines efficiently and consistently. WPM has no direct operational control.
So things can go wrong at the mine site itself.
Absolutely. This exposes them to a range of critical risks. Potential operational disruptions, technical challenges, equipment failures, labor strikes, bad weather, geological issues, anything that impacts production quantity or timing. There's also risk of project delays and cost overruns. Development projects in their growth pipeline might face delays or need more capital, deferring or reducing future cash flows to WPM. And importantly, there's the risk of the operator's financial health. A partner in financial distress might underinvest, curtail production, or even try to renegotiate agreements in a worst-case scenario.
Has this actually happened? Any examples?
Yes. The production decline at the Stillwater mine in the U.S. is a recent, tangible example. The operator, Sibanye Stillwater, put a portion of it on care and maintenance in late 2024 due to tough economics for platinum group metals. WPM's attributable palladium production dropped significantly as a direct result. It shows how WPM is ultimately subject to its partner's execution and strategic decisions.
Okay, so operational issues at the partner level. What about broader country risks? Geopolitics.
Definitely a factor. WPM's portfolio spans 18 countries, each with its own political, economic, and regulatory environment. While diversification helps, it also introduces a spectrum of geopolitical and regulatory challenges. These risks could include abrupt changes in fiscal regimes, governments increasing taxes, royalties, or levies impacting mine profitability. There are evolving permitting and environmental regulations, changes in laws, tougher social license rules, or permit delays could halt production. And, of course, the threat of political instability, civil unrest, anti-mining government policies, or even outright expropriation of assets could severely disrupt operations and impair WPM's investment.
That sounds severe. Any recent examples in the sector?
The temporary shutdown of the Cobre Panama mine in Panama, a major asset for competitor Franco-Nevada, serves as a stark reminder. When the Panamanian Supreme Court declared the mine's contract unconstitutional, FNV faced huge uncertainty and a material hit to its expected production, despite its diversification. It shows even big players aren't immune.
Right. A real-world example of that risk.
Right.
Any other major risk categories? Financial?
Yes, finally, financial and broader capital market risks. While WPM's debt-free status insulates it from direct interest cost increases, changes in interest rates still affect the broader capital markets. Higher rates increase the cost of capital for the whole industry, potentially impacting asset valuations and the economics of future streaming deals. On the flip side, as we noted, WPM's big cash balance actually benefits from higher rates through increased interest income. There's also currency exposure. WPM reports in U.S. dollars, but its partners incur costs in local currencies. Big exchange rate swings can affect the underlying mine profitability. If a local currency strengthens a lot against the U.S. dollar, it could squeeze the operator's margins, maybe affecting their incentive to produce. Currency volatility creates uncertainty.
These aren't just theoretical risks. They are real-world challenges that can impact even the strongest companies, reminding us to always consider the full picture, not just the exciting upside. It's a complex web. Okay, valuing a traditional mining company is already a challenge. But WPM's streaming model, while simplifying some operational aspects, adds another layer of intrigue to valuation. How do expert analysts actually put a price tag on a precious metal streamer? Can't be as simple as just looking at a price-to-earnings ratio, can it?
You're absolutely right. It's far more nuanced than a simple PE. Streaming and royalty companies, because of their unique business model, consistently trade at premium valuation multiples compared to traditional miners. We're talking metrics like price to cash flow, PCF, and enterprise value to EBITDA. EBITDA. This premium is generally attributed to their superior model, higher, more stable margins, lower operational risk, greater predictability of cash flows. The market rewards that stability and reduced risk. Historically, the largest, highest quality players like WPM and Franco-Nevada typically command the highest multiples because they embody these advantages most strongly. Comparing WPM's multiples against peers helps gauge market sentiment.
Okay, so multiples are one piece, but what's the core valuation method?
Stepping back for a moment, the primary, most comprehensive valuation methodology for companies in this sector is based on net asset value, or NAV. For a streaming company, the NAV is calculated meticulously, asset by asset. This means a detailed discounted cash flow, or DCF model, is built for each individual streaming and royalty agreement in their portfolios.
For every single one. Wow.
Yes, it's detailed work. The key inputs for each asset's DCF are quite granular. You need the mine's expected production profile over its entire life, a long-term forecast for the commodity price, gold, silver, etc., and critically, that contractually fixed price WPM pays for the metal. The resulting cash flows from each stream are then discounted back to the present using a discount rate reflecting the asset's specific risk. Typically, a lower rate, maybe 5%, for mature producing assets, and higher rates, perhaps 8-10% or more, for development stage projects due to their greater uncertainty. The sum of all these present values is the gross asset value. Then you subtract corporate G&A, add net cash to get the total NAV. Divide by shares outstanding for NAV per share. It's a fundamental bottom-up approach.
That's a very detailed process, but what's this optionality value I often hear about? It seems to make streamers trade at a premium, often significantly above their calculated NAV. Sounds like something beyond just the sum of the parts.
That's a great question, and it's a critical component that truly differentiates these companies. Streamers typically do trade at a premium to their calculated NAV, often 1.5x to 2.0, sometimes higher. This premium reflects what we call optionality value. This is the potential for additional future production that wasn't explicitly factored into the initial NAV calculation. It comes from things like mine life extensions or entirely new discoveries made by the operator on the land, covered by the original stream agreement, for which WPM, the streamer, pays no additional capital.
So they get extra potential production for free, essentially.
Exactly. Think of it like buying land with a house. You pay for the house, but if later valuable minerals are found under that same land by the original owner, who's still mining, you as the stream holder benefit from that extra production without paying another cent. Your fixed purchase price stays the same, but your incoming ounces increase. It's a free growth option embedded in the deal. This optionality is incredibly valuable because it represents potential future growth and cash flow acquired for free, giving the streamer a compounding advantage over time.
That makes sense why the market might pay a premium for that. Is there also a corporate-level valuation?
Yes. In addition to the asset-based NAV, a corporate-level DCF model is also a common tool, especially for established players like WPM. The key inputs for a WPM corporate DCF are relatively straightforward, given their model's predictability. First, the production forecast. WPM's detailed 5- and 10-year guidance provides a strong, de-risked foundation, making this input quite reliable compared to miners. Next, and this is undoubtedly the most critical and sensitive assumption, are the long-term commodity prices. The valuation is highly dependent on the long-term price deck used for gold, silver, etc. Small changes here can have a big impact.
So your view on gold prices really matters.
Fundamentally, cash costs, as we know, are relatively predictable due to those fixed purchase prices. And finally, the discount rate, or WACC. Given WPM's lack of debt, the WACC would be heavily skewed towards the cost of equity, simplifying that part.
And that sensitivity to metal prices, how big is it?
It's significant and worth reemphasizing. Any valuation of WPM is, fundamentally, a directional view on long-term gold and silver. The company itself highlights this leverage. A corporate presentation from late 2023 included a sensitivity analysis showing that a 50% increase in commodity prices could lead to a staggering 64% increase in their operating cash flows.
Wow, 64% cash flow increase from a 50% price jump. That's amplified leverage right there.
Exactly. This data powerfully demonstrates the model's amplified leverage. This high sensitivity drives both potential upside and downside in the valuation. It makes WPM a powerful vehicle for investors with strong conviction on precious metals prices.
That's incredibly insightful. Valuing these companies truly demands a holistic understanding, combining meticulous asset-level analysis with a clear view on the broader commodity market. You need to see how all these factors interact. Okay, let's bring this all the way up to today, connecting all these analytical pieces to the current reality. What's been happening with WPM operationally in the very recent past? And how have the big macroeconomic shifts of 2023-2025, particularly the strength in precious metals, but also inflation and higher rates, actually impacted them? Let's connect the analysis to the dynamic present.
Looking at WPM's recent operational performance, the second quarter of 2025 showed pretty robust results. It signaled strong execution on their growth pipeline and the resilience of their cornerstone assets. Attributable gold equivalent ounce, GEO production, increased by a healthy 9.5% year over year. This positive performance was predominantly driven by strong contributions from key assets. Notably, the successful ramp-up of the Salobo 3 expansion by Vale in Brazil was a significant positive, boosting attributable gold from that key asset by a remarkable 10%.
Salobo 3 coming online, that's big for them.
Huge. It's a major capital project for Vale, and its completion provides a significant de-risked boost to WPM's gold stream for decades. Additionally, the start of commercial production at Artemis Gold's Blackwater mine in May 2025 also began contributing to WPM's volumes, representing a new, significant, long-life gold stream coming online.
So mostly positive on the operations front.
Mostly, but the portfolio also experienced some operational challenges, which really serve as vivid illustrations of the risks we discussed. At Newmont's Peñasquito mine in Mexico, attributable silver production declined by 7% year over year. This wasn't a major failure, just normal mine sequencing moving to an area with lower silver grades, a reminder of natural fluctuations. More significantly, production from the Stillwater complex in the U.S. declined, with attributable palladium down a substantial 44%.
44%. What happened there?
That occurred after the operator, Sibanye-Stillwater, made a strategic decision to place the Stillwater West operations into care and maintenance in late 2024. Basically, due to challenging economic conditions for platinum group metals. These events vividly underscored that inherent counterparty risk. WPM is subject to the operational decisions, performance, or even strategic shifts of its partners, even giant ones.
Right, underscores that dependency. Any corporate news?
Yes. On the corporate front, Wheaton announced key senior management promotions in June 2025, appointing Haytham Hodaly as president, a longtime executive there. The company stated these changes were made to strategically position itself for its next era of innovation and growth, signaling a proactive approach to its future, focusing on leadership and future-proofing.
Okay, interesting. Now, stepping back to the macro view, how has the economic environment of the last couple of years played out for WPM? Strong metal prices must have helped.
Putting this all into a broader context, what's fascinating here is how the macroeconomic environment from 2023 through 2025 has been a powerful tailwind for Wheaton. Precious metals prices have been exceptionally strong, providing a significant boost. Gold, in particular, reached all-time nominal highs in 2025, consolidating comfortably in the mid-$300 per ounce range during the summer. This sustained strength in gold and, to a lesser extent, silver, has been the primary driver of the company's record financial results. It really demonstrates that amplified leverage to commodity prices we talked about. High metal prices mean more revenue for WPM from its fixed cost streams.
So how have the other big macro forces, specifically higher inflation and the rapid rise in interest rates, played into this? Benefit or hindrance? or a mix?
It's been a mixed story, but largely beneficial for WPM's unique model, actually. WPM's model is largely insulated from direct operating cost inflation. Their costs to acquire ounces are fixed by contract, so they don't see their per ounce cost go up with rising labor or energy prices like a traditional miner does. That's a huge competitive advantage in an inflationary environment. However, broader inflation does increase the capital expenditures for its mining partners to build new projects or expand existing ones. This can lead to budget overruns and potential delays in the development pipeline, a risk for WPM's future growth if partners struggle.
But there's a flip side.
Yes. Conversely, high inflation often increases miners' demand for capital as their own costs rise. And that can create a more favorable landscape for streamers like WPM to deploy capital into new deals. They become an even more attractive financing partner.
Okay, so inflation is mixed. What about higher interest rates?
Higher interest rates have certainly made traditional debt financing more expensive for mining companies. This further increases the relative attractiveness of streaming as an alternative source of capital, funneling more potential deal opportunities towards WPM. And for WPM itself, with its very large cash balance and zero debt, higher rates translate directly to increased interest income on its cash reserves, a nice passive boost to earnings. So while inflation can create some indirect headwinds for their partners, the direct impacts of both inflation and higher rates have largely proven beneficial or insulating for WPM.
It's fascinating how a company's business model can interact with and sometimes directly benefit from these large-scale economic forces. You're seeing how WPM's structure has allowed it to not just navigate, but in many ways, thrive even amidst significant economic shifts. We've taken a truly comprehensive deep dive into Wheaton Precious Metals today. We've unpacked its unique business model, its formidable financial strength, its impressive growth engines, and the complex interplay of risks and opportunities that define its place. It's been a fascinating look at a highly specialized yet incredibly powerful corner of the investment market.
Indeed. We've highlighted WPM's high-quality asset base, its fortress balance sheet, and that visible de-risked growth pipeline that collectively position it as a leader. Its leveraged business model offers significant upside exposure to precious metals prices, but this also comes with that inherent dependence on its mining partners' operational success and the broader macroeconomic conditions. It's a balance of immense opportunity and specific manageable risks.
You know, what really clicked for me during this deep dive is how this streaming model fundamentally re-engineers risk in an inherently risky industry. It's almost like a financial innovation applied to the oldest asset class on Earth. It redefines what it means to invest in gold and silver, moving beyond the pick-and-shovel risk to a more refined capital partner model. What's the biggest takeaway for you looking at WPM that you think our listeners should truly sit with?
That's a good question. For me, the biggest takeaway is understanding the growing importance of capital in the mining sector. Traditional mining is facing increasing capital requirements, tougher environmental regulations, more geopolitical hurdles. It's getting harder. This raises an important question for the future. As global demand for precious metals continues to evolve and the challenges for traditional miners intensify, will the streaming model become not just an attractive alternative financing option, but perhaps the dominant way to gain exposure to future precious metals production? It's a thought worth mulling over, I think, as the entire industry continues to adapt and evolve in this complex global landscape.